Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's today. My name is Jason Schmidt, the pastor here at St. Mark's. I'm pleased to welcome you to worship today. Today is a very special Sunday for a number of reasons. One, first and foremost, we have some of God's kids here, and they're going to share a song with us. They are also going to lead us in the opening and closing hymns. They were chosen because they are the opening and closing hymns for chapel. And so we look forward to hearing your voices and helping us out on those as well. And we look forward to hearing your anthem, reminding us that Jesus is our friend. And that's what makes this Sunday also unique, is this is Friendship Sunday. It's not just a day that we celebrate the fact that God blesses us with friends. I mean, friends are a blessing. Companionship is a blessing. And I know not everybody needs friends to the same extent as everybody else, but that gift of companionship is truly a blessing from Him. So this is also a day that we set aside for our members to invite their friends and family to come and hear about their friend, their Savior Jesus. So we're going to emphasize friendship today and see just exactly the lengths that to which Jesus went so that He could call you His friend, not just in this life, but also in the life to come. So I look forward to sharing that message with you this morning. The order of worship that will follow is printed for you in the worship booklet. There are some times that we will sing back and forth, and that is noted in here. We'll sing prayers back and forth sometimes. We will sing encouragement back and forth. So I look forward to sharing that with you as well. If you didn't get a worship booklet on the way in, now is a good time to get the attention of the ushers. They're standing in the back, and then you'll be equipped for worship. So with those announcements, we open worship with our opening hymn, hymn 735. It is a prayer that God blesses us as we hear His word, that He draws us closer to Himself through His word, and then that He would empower us to live it in our lives. It's hymn 735. You'll find it in the blue hymnals in front of you. 735 in the blue hymn book. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
On page 3 in the worship booklet, we exchange songs, we pray together, and we encourage each other. Please stand and give your attention to page 3 in the worship booklet.
Oh Lord, open my lips. Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
Come, O God, bless your
Please be seated as we give our attention to God's Word. One of the marks of a true friend is that a person is giving and that someone blesses you and does nice things for you and goes out of their way to take care of you. We certainly see that in this promise from the Lord's prophet Isaiah, that Jesus, your friend and my friend, would come to love us and to serve us by giving himself for us, his life for ours, so that we could have eternal life with our Father in heaven. We have that promise and prophecy recorded in Isaiah chapter 53. The lesson is printed on page 5 if you'd like to follow along. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our children's song for this morning. Jesus is my friend. The words are printed on page 6.
Thank you. Sometimes being a friend is sharing a message that is hard both to hear and to share. But in the second lesson for this morning, we have St. Paul doing just that. And he's talking to his friends. He's talking to a former congregation, people that he loves very much. But he's not afraid to remind them why they need their Savior Jesus so badly. And then he's also pleased to remind them of what Jesus did for them so that he could love them forever. The second lesson is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. It is a customary tradition that we stand to show respect for the words of Jesus, so I invite you to please stand as we read from the gospel this morning. The gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. John, chapter 15. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, we'll have the children's sermon, so I invite the kids, fourth grade on down, to come up, and you can meet me in the front rows. If you would like to bring your child up or send an older sibling up, you could do that too. But we'll have the children's sermon for those who would like to in the front two rows. Again, thank you for coming up. For those of you who sang, thank you very much. It was so great.
I really enjoyed hearing you sing about our Savior Jesus, so thank you for that. I have some pictures to show you, and I want you to tell me if you would be friends, or if you would want to be friends with the people in these pictures, okay? What about these kids? Do you think you might want to be friends with these kids? No? Why not? Raise your hand. Tell me why not. Yes, sir, why not? Yeah, they're being, what, one has a handful of what? Hair. Yeah, she's pulling the other girl's hair. I don't want to be friends with someone who's pulling hair and hurting me. Yeah, okay. What about these kids? Maybe. Would you want to be friends with these kids? Why not? Yeah, one's not listening, and the other is screaming. And you know what these marks mean? Naughty word. they're using naughty words, and they're being mean, and this one's being rude. I'm not going to listen to you. So you wouldn't want to be friends with those kids?
No.
All right. What about these kids?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Why might you want to be friends with these kids? Yeah, what are they sharing? I know, I would want to be friends with them too. Look, they're happy, and they're nice, and they're sharing. Do you want to know something about our relationship with Jesus? When we do things that are mean, and when we say things that are mean, maybe at home you push a little brother, or you push a little sister, or maybe you hit someone, or maybe you sass at mom or dad, or maybe you call a friend a bad name. Do you know that Jesus can't be friends with us when we're doing that? In fact, the Bible tells us that we can't even have a relationship with Jesus because of the sin and sinfulness in our hearts and in our lives. But the good news is, here, tap the screen. The good news is, Jesus has done something about that. The good news is, Jesus wants to be our friend. And I know Jesus doesn't look like that. But Jesus wants to be our friend so much that what did he do for us? What did he do? Yeah, Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, to take them all away. Hey, hands to yourself for the times that we are goofing around in church. For the times that we are mean to mom or dad or somebody else at home. Maybe if you push a brother or sister or a friend at school, Jesus died to pay for all of them so that he could be our friend, not just in this life, but also in the life to come in heaven. So we're going to talk about that more today. What did Jesus do? How can you know that Jesus loves you? How can you know that Jesus is your friend? Well, because he lived and died for you. So Jesus is our friend. And there's a Bible passage that I read, and I'm going to read it in the sermon, and some of you know it already from school, and if you want to say it with me, you can, or maybe if it's too new, you don't have to. But God tells us why Jesus is our friend. He tells us, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So Jesus loves us. He lived for us. He died for us so that he could call us his friends. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for telling us in your word that you are our friend. We thank you that you lived and died for us to pay for all of our sins so that we could call God our Father and so that you could be our Savior and our friend. Please help us to be kind to one another. And if we have a bad day, help us to say we're sorry and help us to love and forgive each other too, because our Savior Jesus forgives us. Thank you for being our friend and for the chance to tell our friends and family that you are their friend as well. In your name we pray, amen. Fantastic job. Thank you for coming up. We're going to sing our next hymn, hymn 411, and maybe look for some of the themes that we had in our lessons about a hymn that reminds us Jesus is our friend, hymn 411.
peace with God is yours through him who has loved you with an everlasting love, through Jesus, your Savior, your friend. So I'm borrowing the title of that hymn for the theme of my message for you today. And what a friend we have in Jesus, it's not really a question, is it? It's really more of an exclamation. And we do that when we talk too. Maybe we say, you know, what a game. Because it was amazing what happened, and you don't have time or the desire to go back and replay the whole thing, but you say, what a game. And maybe you pick out one or two things that you really liked about it. Or maybe you say, what a play, because you can't believe that he caught it, or you can't believe that she did what she did. You know, what a play. We talk like that. And usually it's when something exceptional has happened, like you go to your favorite musical or maybe your favorite drama, and it's one that you've seen 3, 4, 5 times, but what a performance, because one of the actors or actresses really stands out, and you want to tell someone, and you just say, well, what a play. That's what we're doing today as we look back at God's love for us in Jesus. It's what a friend we have in Jesus. And it's amazing that he would love us the way that he does. And so I want you to work with me on that theme. And I'm going to give you 3 reasons that maybe you might say, wow, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. And just chew on them for a little bit and then see if you agree with me at the end. The first is, Jesus is the perfect friend because he's the exact kind of friend that you're looking for. In addition to that, he's the exact kind of friend you need. And probably most importantly, he is the friend that you have. So what kind of friend do you want? Like I said at the beginning, some of us don't need friends. Some of us don't even want friends. But if you're the kind of person that enjoys friendship, what kind of friend do you want? Somebody with whom you enjoy spending time, you enjoy their company. Maybe it's somebody who's nice to you. Maybe you go way back with someone and you just experienced enough life together and you feel comfortable with that person. Maybe you have common interests. You have a golfing buddy, or you like to go fishing with someone, or you're part of a reading club. There's lots of different reasons why we have friends. In the hymn that we sang right before the sermon, the hymn writer gave us a number of reasons why Jesus is our friend. And we're just like, well, what a friend. The first was, is because he bears our burdens with us. All our griefs and sorrows, they're put on him, and he cares for us. Isaiah said the same thing. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He cares about you, and he did something. He cares when you're sad. He cares when you're sorry, when you're sorrowful. You see that in his life and in his ministry, don't you? The different times that Jesus took time out of his ministry to care about people. His friends, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus, you remember what happened to his brother, to their brother? Well, he died. And Jesus stopped everything, and he took a trip to their house, and he cried, and he comforted them, and he consoled them with the promise of the resurrection. Why did he do that? Well, because he cares. And isn't that the kind of friend that you're looking for, someone who cares? There was another time in his ministry, recorded in Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd of people, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Jesus was tired too. It was a long day for him, and he wanted to get away from it all for a while. He wanted to be by himself, but he saw the people, and he couldn't help it. He cared about them, and so he found out what was wrong with them, and he healed them. Another time, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And first and foremost, he gives us spiritual rest. He reminds us your sins are taken away, but he also gives us rest when we're anxious or when we're nervous or when we're scared. He says, tell me about it, and I'll share your burden. I'll bear your burden for you. St. Peter recognized that after he spent time with Jesus and said, cast all your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. And finally, Jesus tells us very straight up in John chapter 15, love each other as I have loved you. You know, I don't know if Jesus was funny. I don't know if he had a sense of humor. I don't know if he really liked fishing, if he ever went fishing. I don't know if he liked drama or if he liked sports. But I do know that he cares for you and that he cares for me. And isn't that what makes Jesus such a great friend? The kind of friend you're looking for, he cares for you, and he bears your burdens. Here's another reason why Jesus is a great friend for us to have. You've heard the expression, with friends like these, who needs enemies? You know, maybe you have a friend or two like that in your life. Maybe they make life miserable for you. Maybe they're very demanding of you. Maybe they're condescending and they're not very kind or very nice to you, which really makes the good friends in your life stand out, and it's easy to see who the true friends are and who they aren't. Jesus is definitely one of our true friends, not only because of all the kind things he does for us, but in the sense that he is not afraid to stop everything and take us aside and tell us some of the hard things that he has to tell us and have us think about some of the difficult things that he wants us to think about because they're not good for us and they're hurting us. And maybe they're hurting someone else in our life, or probably more so, they're hurting our relationship with God. And so he's not afraid to say, you need to stop and think about this. We sang that in a very harmless way. I don't even know if you caught it. Right at the beginning of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it's very melodic, and it's a nice song, and it's a comforting song. But why is Jesus one of our greatest friends? Not only because he bears our sorrows, but he also takes care of our sins. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And we kind of gloss right over the word because we're in a good mood singing the song, but Jesus is a good friend because he's not afraid to stop and say, you need to look at what you're doing. You need to stop and think about how you're talking or how you're thinking or how you're living. Just like a good true friend is going to tell you, you need to stop this because it's not good for you, it's not good for your family, it's not good for your friends. Jesus does the same thing. And here's why Isaiah says we need to have that conversation with Jesus. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And St. Paul, you follow that up with St. Paul's lesson today, and he reminds us why it's not just a bunch of harmless little sheep wandering away and little Bo Peep is going to come get you and bring you back. St. Paul tells us why it's a big deal when we wander from God. He said it this way, again, speaking to his friends. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Jesus says that condition keeps us from being part of his family. It keeps us from having a strong relationship with him. And if left unchecked, it might keep us out of heaven forever. So he's not afraid to say, stop and think about this. Whether it's the little things, we were talking about this in Bible study, weren't we? Whether it's the little sins, the medium sins, or the big ones. You know, so you told a lie. You didn't really hurt anybody. Not a big deal. Or maybe at home, you missed curfew. You broke the rules. Okay, you little consequence, and you move on with life. But what about the bigger things? The things when we intentionally set God's will and his ways aside because, well, I just want this. Or maybe everybody else gets to do this, and I want to do this too, and so you go ahead and you do it. Or maybe it's even a bigger thing. Like maybe you love unloading on God and telling him what a horrible, miserable job he's doing at running the world and running your life, or taking care of somebody that you care about, and you're not happy with the way he's doing it. Or maybe there's something big in your life, a time when you said, you know what, God, I don't even want you anymore. I don't even need you anymore. You're a farce. You were great when I was 5, but I've moved on. And your word and going to church and worship and training my kids, it just doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Maybe it's a big one like that. Or maybe it's when you run to an addiction, a physical addiction, a substance addiction, instead of going to God for what he says, I can help you with. I can help you bear that burden. Regardless, from the little ones up to the very big ones, they hurt our relationship with God. And like I told the kids, we can't have a good relationship with God when we're all caught up in these things. And so St. Paul loved his people enough to say, that's what you were before Jesus, and don't go back. That's why Isaiah is not afraid to remind us. It's like we're sheep running around like we don't know any better, which is what makes Jesus a good friend when he says, I want to talk about this, and I want you to work on this and fix this. And you know what Jesus follows up that pretty stern message with? He follows it up with a promise that he has fixed it. Isaiah said Jesus was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a friend we have in Jesus. Would you have done that? Let people abuse you, mistreat you, say bad things about you, and kill you? Would you have done that? Well, maybe for a good friend. Maybe for your own child. But what about people who hate you? Or don't listen to you? Or never pray to you? Or have such a blatant disrespect for your word? Or make whatever decisions they want to make, even if they offend you and don't fit into a relationship that a child of God should have with their Heavenly Father? Would you have died for them? Suffered for them? Would you even want a relationship with them anymore? Jesus did. And he did, in fact, take all of our sins and he took them all to the cross, where he gave up his life for all of them. Jesus says, that's how you can know that you're my friends, because I lay down my life for you. For the little sins, for the big ones, for the biggest ones, Jesus wants a relationship with you. And as his friend, he laid down his life for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's the exact kind of friend that we need. But you know what happens anytime God shares any good news with us? Don't you start beating yourself up? And you stop and think, okay, that's good for the good people, you know, for the people who do go to church, for the people who do pray, for the people who do know their Bibles. But what about people like me? What about people like me who do struggle with making good choices? What about people who are a little angry with God, who have some big questions for God? What about people like me who couldn't find any of these lessons in the Bible if my life depended on it? Do you know who whispers those thoughts in your ear? And you know who whispers them in my ear? Satan does. Because he wants you to believe the lie that Jesus could never want you to be his friend. That all this is true for the good people, for the good Christians, and for the people who don't ever sin. Jesus' response to that is, Satan is a liar. And he's been lying from the beginning. Jesus said he is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So don't listen to that lie that should you start praying that would make you a hypocrite. Or if you start going back to God's word, if you start listening to his word and you try to get back into church, that makes you a bald-faced liar because that's not who you are. Jesus says, don't let Satan tell you those lies. Don't listen to any of that. What a friend we have in Jesus, who assures us that we are his friends because he calls us his friends. It doesn't depend on what we do, what we have or haven't done. It depends on he loving us enough to lay down his life for us so that he could call us his friends. And he makes us that promise, or Paul makes us that promise in Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus himself said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And that's it. That's where the conversation stops. That's where Satan's lies end. That's where your guilt ends. That's where my sin ends too. We have a relationship with God because Jesus calls us friends. You know, so it's Friendship Sunday, and maybe somebody put in a little bit more effort to invite you to church, and if that's why you're here today, I praise and thank God for that. Or maybe it's because you love your child enough to get your child up so that they could come and sing the good news about Jesus, and I praise and thank God for that. But we all probably have a friend somewhere who either doesn't trust this promise or maybe doesn't know this promise. They don't know what a friend they have in Jesus either. And so I am praying that the good news that we heard about our friend Jesus today, that the Holy Spirit might take that and work in your hearts a desire to go and find a friend and to go and share your friend, your Savior Jesus, so that they can too join you with the confidence of knowing what a friend we have in Jesus. The exact kind of friend we're looking for, the right kind of friend we need, the friend that we have because he calls us friends. May God bless you with that good news of your friend, your Savior Jesus. Amen. At this point in our service, we will sing a song of praise in response to the good news of our Savior Jesus. That song is on page 8 in the worship booklet. Please stand. Please be seated. At this time, we'll worship our God with our offerings. This is also a good time, if you would like to fill out your connection card. That is the best way to get to know St. Mark's. If you would like me to pray for you, if you would like to meet with me so we could discuss something, or if you just want more information about St. Mark's, or if you are a member, if you have a prayer request. So please take a minute to fill out the connection card, and then you can pass that to the middle, and the ushers will collect that. We worship our God with our offerings. In our prayers this morning, we've been asked to say a prayer of thanksgiving on behalf of Bev Heinitz. Last Sunday, we prayed that God would bless her surgery, and God kept her safe and is blessing that surgery. So she asked that we would say thank you along with her to God, so we will do that. We will also remember Pastor Mark Zarling, whom we have called to be our pastor here at St. Mark's. He currently serves at Martin Luther College, a college that trains future pastors and teachers. So we'll ask that God would be with him. And we will thank God for his good gift of friendship and the way that he shared his son, our Savior Jesus, with us today. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Savior, you have purchased us to be your very own for all eternity. You have given purpose to our time in this life by making us your witnesses. We thank you for the high privilege of working with you to gather more and more sheep into your kingdom. As you looked with compassion on the lost sheep of Israel, grant that your Holy Spirit may move us to look with compassion on the lost of this day who do not know you, their Savior, their friend. Fill us with zeal to do all we can to bring them the precious gospel so that they too may experience the joy of being one of your children. Enable us to be faithful witnesses to all whose lives we touch, whether it be in the privacy of our own homes or in our communities or at work or at school. We thank you for missionaries and their families who are willing to live and work in distant lands and to share Jesus on our behalf. We ask that you keep them from harm of body and soul and give them joy in their difficult assignments. Above all, we ask you to bring those who hear the word to repentance and to faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you look with compassion on all people, especially those who are suffering. As your heart went out to your friends and people you knew when you walked this earth, may your compassion also go out to those who need you here. We thank you for the healing and relief that you are providing Bev Heinitz. We thank you for the opportunity to rejoice that the procedure was successful. We ask that you give us all the strength and confidence to say the same thing if the outcome is never what we want, if our will is different from your will. Help us to have the faith to accept that. In this case, please accept our thanks and praise that you saw Bev Heinitz through her surgery. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Pastor Zarling. Help him to see the honor and high calling he has to serve as the president of Martin Luther College. Help him to see the many lives that he touches and the many lives he will continue to touch as the men and women he trains up go out to serve you in their fields of labor. We ask that you would give him wisdom and insight as he considers coming here to be our pastor. We ask that you would give us patience as we await his answer. Above all, we pray that your will be done. So please be with our brother, Pastor Mark Zarling. Dear Heavenly Father, we also thank you for your many gifts, especially your gift of friendship. We thank you for the happiness it brings into our lives, the companionship, and the opportunity to share burdens with one another. Above all, we thank you for the friendship our Savior Jesus has. We thank you that he laid down his life for us so that he can call us his friends now and forever in heaven. Help us to be eternally grateful and to live our lives for him. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children who shared their voices with us. We thank you that they shared Jesus with us. May the message that they shared, that Jesus shed his blood for us, give us confidence in our relationship with you. Please be with those children the rest of this day and let them have a great Sunday and then rest up and bring them back here to school at St. Mark's, full of energy and ready to learn. We ask this in your most holy name, along with those other prayers and concerns that are on our hearts and in our minds that you know and that you promise to answer. Amen. Our worship continues with our next hymn, a song that reminds us that God does bear us up, that he bears our burdens, hymn 440.
Thank you.
Please direct your attention to page 10 in the worship booklet for our closing prayers and liturgy. Please stand.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Lord, have mercy and hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Let us praise the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The Lord bless and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord's face ever shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord grant you peace for all.
Please be seated for our closing hymn. This hymn was chosen because if you follow the church year, we're in the season of Epiphany, where the brightness of Jesus shines on the pages of God's Word, and then through us as we live our lives for Him. This song was also chosen because the children close chapel with it on Wednesday mornings, so we'll look to them to be our leaders to help us sing strong. Our closing hymn is on page 12 in the worship booklet.
Thank you.
morning. Again, to everyone, thank you for being in God's house today. And if you were invited by a friend, we are honored and pleased that you are here.
If you are just stopping by to visit St. Mark's, we appreciate that and look forward to sharing more of our ministries and especially a deeper connection to your Savior Jesus with you. There is a information center, a welcome center in the back corner of the lobby. If you go out the main door and take a right, there's someone there to share more information about our ministries, how we can serve you with Jesus. There's school information there as well. I would enjoy connecting with you during the week or maybe before or after drop off if you bring your kids here to St. Mark's. So again, thank you for making part of your Sunday time in God's house today. Thank you also, parents, for getting kids up maybe a little bit earlier than on a normal Sunday and for bringing them here. Mrs. Bauer, thank you for getting them prepped, and Mrs. Duchesne and Miss T also. We appreciate all the work that went into it, and to hear them singing about Jesus, it meant a lot to me, and they shared their Savior today. So thank you all for the extra efforts to do that. As I mentioned, we extended a call to Pastor Mark Zarling, and on the back of the weekly announcements is a letter that acknowledges that he has received our call and that he is praying for us. So please take this home if you didn't get it emailed out to you, and his message and his well wishes are on the back of this. So please pick this up and read President Zarling's message. Also, there's a note in here to meet the artist. We have the framing in for our stained glass. And the artist was going to be here, but the railroad tracks in Utah got washed out. And there was an avalanche up in the hills, and so we couldn't get from Reno to here. And so that trip is being pushed back a month into March. So he was going to visit with one of our churches in the Reno area, and so that got canceled. But his name and info is in here, but he won't be here until March. So we look forward to meeting Pastor Pope and seeing the stained glass that he will design for us. Also, there's a note in here about the next teen group event. If you have a teen who will be attending, or even if you need to do a little encouraging to attend that, there's RSVP info for February 26th. If you have time during the week, on Wednesday, February 22nd, we are hosting the Northern California Teachers Conference, and their opening worship is open to you if you would like to come and worship with them. That's Wednesday morning, February 22nd. And finally, we have a distinguished guest with us today who is going to present to us an organ concert this afternoon. Mr. Wyatt Smith is here with us, and so we're pleased and honored to have you. So we will officially welcome him from here today. We look forward. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, there will be exquisite organ music. If you enjoy organ music, this afternoon, 4 o'clock will be our organ recital. So we look forward to that, and glad God brought you safely here and safe travels back home as well. Those are the announcements that I wanted to share with you. Again, I enjoyed worshiping with you. I look forward to saying hi to you one more time before you leave. I'll be available in the lobby. Please feel free to visit with one another, and then the ushers will usher you out.